Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Monday. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder here. If you want to call in or text in, you know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. I guess the question is, do we talk about anything else besides the mistake, or do we talk about the mistake?
Let's talk about everything.
Let's talk about everything. And if we have time to discuss last night's mistake, it'll certainly come up. You had said on the latter days of last week that you'll try to watch the show, the Academy Awards, of course, from last night. Did you watch the Academy Awards?
I did not watch it live as it happened.
No?
I fast-forwarded through it, and I saw some stuff online.
Yeah.
I saw all the crucial stuff.
Yeah.
I saw the monologue.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel was great.
Jimmy Kimmel was great.
He's unflappable.
He was. You know what?
He is great.
He is great.
Honest
he was
to God.
Great. He will continue to be great. He kind of underplays things a little bit. And, I don't know how you would do a better job than he did last night. He did a really good job.
But the Oscar goes to
yes.
Gary from Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Steve, you saw it.
Well, yeah, that was hilarious. But I was going to say, I don't mean to sidetrack. I started to say, you guys talked about this very thing last week.
We sure did.
And
what if?
Yeah.
What if something goes wrong and they call the wrong name and then it happened?
But you know what? It happened. It's a mistake.
Yeah.
I know it was at the very end. I know. I just have so many questions. Everybody's mad at Warren Beatty.
Not his fault.
It totally isn't. And it's not even Faye Dunaway's fault.
Not
boy,
her
do
fault.
They look fantastic.
Yeah, that was nice. It was, for people who don't know or didn't see, it
wow.
is the anniversary of Bonnie and Clyde. What year anniversary?
50th.
Is it 50th?
Yeah. Man, that movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
I just used that word. That's my new word for the whole day.
Fantastic.
Fan-freaking-tastic.
If you haven't seen Bonnie and Clyde, it is without a doubt one of the best movies ever made. It's
agreed.
A man named Arthur Penn directed it. It's Gene Wilder's first role in a movie.
That's right.
You know? Yeah, Steve?
Kimmel has a way of making fun or poking fun in a nice way.
Doesn't he?
You know, it never...
Not the Matt Damon. That got a little...
Oh, I thought that was funny, though.
The weight thing was like, ouch.
I loved it.
That was... loved it, too.
Yeah. Everyone knew they were both in on it, so...
Sure. And actually... I have to say, not just the high point of last night, but I think one of the best things I've ever seen in an Academy Award broadcast, and I've been watching it since I was 4 or 5 years old, was there was a string throughout the evening of stars talking about what their most important time was in a theater when they saw an actor on the stage that made them say to themselves, I would also like to be an actor. And Jimmy Kimmel's was Matt Damon's We Bought a Zoo. And he just pined about it so poetically, just going on and on about how great it was.
And then Damon and Affleck are together presenting, and Damon goes, you know, really, I felt good about that performance. And Affleck goes, really?
See, I love the camaraderie.
So
I really do.
Yeah.
And I love the celebrities reading mean tweets.
That was great. You probably know that's a staple on his regular show on Channel 7 on ABC.
I didn't know that for a fact. I assumed, but it really
They do that
worked.
Every couple of months.
But there must have been tens of thousands of people who went to bed thinking that La La Land won.
Yep.
Because I did. I mean,
yep.
Beatty does that thing. He hesitates over it. And I told Sharon, I said, that's something I would do. That's an old man thinking he's funny, and it's not.
And he wasn't trying to
oh
be
my
funny.
God.
Steve,
I
love Warren Beatty, and I was mad at him before we knew what really happened.
Yeah.
I was
like,
mad at him
on.
For kind of soaking that moment
yep.
and
right.
making the spotlight on him. Don't do that.
So,
and don't blame Dave. And then he hands it to Faye Dunaway, which is weird, because then you're like, I don't know what to do. Here, Faye Dunaway.
Well,
you.
She was like, come on, enough of that. It seemed like she almost like grabbed it to just,
right.
and didn't see Emma Stone's name and just went with the La La Land.
Yeah.
But so he did that, announced it. I kissed my wife. I went to bed.
Yeah, really?
I went upstairs and Sharon ran up and got me. She goes, it's not over. So I bet there it was so late. I bet a lot of people waited for the announcement, turned off the TV,
yeah.
and woke up this morning to find out it wasn't true.
The La La Land guy who was talking and doing his acceptance speech.
One of the producers.
Yeah, he bugged me just ripping that card out of Warren Beatty. Okay. Just ripping the card out of his hand. It's like, it's a mistake. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. And he just very... rudely grabbed the card. That bugged me.
I don't know if you picked up on this. They announced the winner is La La Land. Faye Dunaway says it. And then everybody who either worked on La La Land or had seen La La Land goes up on the stage to accept the award. And then you could see this guy behind them a guy with headphones walking up to anyone who had an envelope saying, let me see that envelope. And I said to Terry, when I saw him do that to the second person, I go, something's up, because that guy should not be on stage. This isn't going to end well.
Right, a backstage dude on stage.
Right.
And full camera view.
Why is that guy there? Something's not right, and it wasn't right.
But now, here's what I don't understand. I guess you're caught in the moment and everything, but Warren Beatty's there. He reads it. He sees Emma Stone, La La Land. Right there, you'd flip it over, and I think it would say Best Actress. Why don't you go, they gave me the wrong envelope?
I think in the moment, you want it to go smoothly, and you say to yourself, I must be doing this wrong. They wouldn't make a mistake. The show goes on every
year. I trust no one.
And he was clearly thinking about it.
I mean,
I think that's... You know, now we're doing the Zapruder film, but
right.
You know, I think maybe that's why he showed it to Faye Dunaway, like to get another set of eyes. What do you think about this?
She right. just wanted to get off the stage and get to the after party. Just come on, right. You funny old man. Quit stalling.
My wife said that because they played Bonnie and Clyde, they must have somehow stolen the correct envelope, which is not true. Some people blamed Matt Damon. They said he's trying to mess with Jimmy Kimmel. That's not true. Some people blamed Leonardo DiCaprio because he's the one that gave the envelope to Emma Stone. That's not true.
No, it's the Price. What was it? Andrea calling him?
Oh,
Price Watergate.
Price Watergate.
I love
those
that.
People who messed up.
It's totally their fault, and you know, mistakes happen.
But it's odd that it happened in the most important one of the night.
Yeah.
That's your payoff one is the best movie of the year. So, I mean, if it happens with sound editing, everybody goes, sound editing.
Yeah, but not the sound editor.
Right. They'd be upset. But with this, and how gracious was it? I mean, of course, if you're the producer of La La Land, you have to realize, well, just because they called you doesn't mean you get to keep your statue. So he was very cool about it. This isn't a joke. They won. I'm happy for them. We're handing it over. You know, he was really good about it.
And then, of course, Jimmy Kimmel, the unflappable Jimmy Kimmel, you know, saying at least this makes Steve Harvey feel better or something.
Right.
And then God bless Steve Harvey, who tweets this morning, I went to bed last night. Did anything happen?
That's funny.
That's totally funny.
Very funny. All right, let's take a quick break. And then I want to tell you what I thought was one of the most gracious moments of the evening. And it kind of went unnoticed. But there's something that I noticed that I thought was fantastic. But nobody's talking about it. We'll get to that and more moments from last night's Oscar telecast. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right, we're talking about last night's Academy Award presentation. All in all, I have to say a very good show. It was a long show, but they only do it once a year. So
almost
live it
4 hours.
Yeah. Longest one they've had in over a decade, so why not? It was enjoyable. Everybody always complains. Too long.
Then don't watch it.
Yeah, watch something else. There's other stuff on. All right. May I share with you what I thought was the most gracious moment of the evening? I don't know why this seems to have gone unnoticed, because as soon as I saw it, I said to myself, this is the way people should behave. A man named Mahershala Ali won for his work in Moonlight. So what happens is, this was the very first Oscar of the evening for Best Supporting Actor. So what happens now is, and I don't know who started this tradition, but I really like it. A lot of actors or actresses, when they go up on stage, they mention how gracious they are to be in the same, even to be mentioned in the same breath as that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy. I'm a fan of their work and I love this. And I don't know, that started 10 or 15 years ago, and a lot of actors and actresses do it. I think it's a nice thing.
It's very nice.
But he went above and beyond that. They call out his name as the winner. And I'm sure, I've never won an Academy Award, but I have to think that's a very shocking couple of seconds to hear your name announced and know that you won the award. So they do that. They call out his name, and he's sitting there. And, you know, it's always that thing on TV where they have five boxes. It looks like CNN. It looks like anytime you tune into CNN, there's five faces. And then, you know, there's that look of shock. I won the Academy Award. So then he starts to walk up toward the stage. And one of the people he passes in his row is Jeff Bridges, who was also nominated for Supporting Actor. And he kind of just walks past him because he's going to the stage to accept his award. And you could see him realize, I just passed one of the guys who didn't win. So he turns around and goes back and gives him a little handshake and hug and then goes up on stage. And I thought,
that's pretty awesome.
What's better than that? You know, that was such a nice thing.
That was pretty awesome. And if I may get back to Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of his. He has such a great way of delivering a joke without it being like too over the top.
Right.
He's just really smooth over everything. He
yes,
really
he
is. And as I'm watching the monologue and, you know, some Trump comments come out, very clever, I started thinking, what happens if people just stop mentioning Donald Trump?
Oh, interesting.
Because it's like, don't keep it going. You know, like, with there are several radio people that we don't like to give credit to. And if they slam us, we don't want to go back and slam them because it's just giving them publicity.
Right.
Sometimes it's best to just, like, take the high road.
Except if he had done the show last night and there was no mention of Donald Trump, everybody would be saying, wait, what, does he knows what's going on politically. How did he not mention Donald Trump in the monologue? So he came up, not just in the monologue, but there was a running thread. At some point, he tweeted Donald Trump to see if he was up and watching.
That's great.
The tribute to Meryl Streep toward the beginning was fantastic.
It really was.
How she's been phoning in, you know, 50 movie roles over the years and how mediocre she's been in her films. I mean, that was a subtle way of saying, hey, even though the president said this about you, you're home and we know how great you are.
And she got a standing ovation.
She did.
Deservedly so.
So do you think he... Like you said, maybe it's best to just it'll mess with Trump's psyche more to
if
not
he doesn't do
him.
It. Yeah,
but do you think he did too much of it last night? Because I thought it was just the right amount.
No, I don't think it was too much. But as I was watching it, I'm like, you know, and I mentioned this on Friday. I want to watch it to escape what's going on in the real world.
Sure.
So sometimes I feel like I don't know. I guess everybody would have said, "Boy, he didn't do anything." But is that a bad thing? He didn't overdo it. I'm not saying
he
overdid it.
Right.
I'd like to see a statistic. This is Sharon's idea, my wife's, of how many winners last night had English as their first language.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Because it was a pretty, I think it would be a lower percentage than a lot of people thought. And probably me. I mean, there were a lot of foreign-born winners there.
It was, without a doubt, the most diverse Oscar telecast in terms of winners, presenters, nominees, you name it. The world was represented, and I
think
at a great time. I don't know how the timing could have been better about that. And many of them made quick references. Some made more, you know, detailed references. But several of them said, "Here we are in an industry where we're the planet working together," and that was nice.
That was really nice. And it is a perfect time for everybody to come together in that respect. But it is Hollywood. And I don't know. I don't think Jimmy Kimmel overdid it at all. And it was all funny.
Yeah.
I just, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, just stop mentioning Donald Trump.
I'm positive a lot of people have that same exact attitude. I'm positive. And I before the show, I was thinking to myself, how will he play this? Will he overdo it? Will he underdo it? There will be a mention or two. And there was, but I didn't think it was overdone.
It wasn't overdone.
You know? No, everything he did, I mean, if I'm the Academy, I'm already saying to him, hey, keep this date open for next year, you know? And it's funny, as much as I thought Chris Rock did a great job last year, I thought to myself, rotate the hosts in like they used to do. And then for a while, Billy Crystal was it every year for a while. And I liked that a lot, too. I thought that
got kind of, I mean, he's great, but it got kind of old for me.
Did it? Yeah.
I like the change up.
Yeah. They've tended to do a thing where it's comic, comic, comic. And then on the fourth year, it's somebody like Hugh Jackman or it's somebody.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Anne Hathaway. Right. They tend to go with comics 2 out of every 3 or 3 out of every 4 years, and then they mix it up with somebody who's got more either music in them or some, you know.
Got the music in me.
But that's tough because you almost need somebody, as great as that can be, you almost need somebody to be able to think faster on their feet, you know. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and I know you have some audio that's from a while ago, but it kind of mirrors what happened last night a little bit. And then I have a question about Mel Gibson that I would like to bring up.
Oh, excellent.
All right. So all that's coming. Steve will give you the news, and then there's more Oscar talk. We're at 312-981-7200 if you have any thoughts or comments. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, I know that you live and breathe for the Oscars.
You really do. It's a big night for me. I love watching it.
I heard Andrea say that the ratings were down, but they haven't gotten the complete numbers just yet. Mm-hmm. I watched some of it. There was a lot on last night. The Great Hawks game.
Walking Dead was on last night.
Which I ended up blowing off because I got to be in the mood for that. And mm-hmm. I was... After the Hawks, watching the Oscars, kind of fell asleep. So then I woke up at 1:30 in the morning and tried to get all my information online, which you totally can. So I wonder if that's why viewership is down, because you can find all this info.
I'm positive people just say to themselves, instead of sitting through a four-hour right. broadcast, I'll watch the highlights. It worked for you?
It totally worked for me. I felt sorry for Warren Beatty. He really looks fantastic. Faye Dunaway looked really, really good. Mm-hmm. And they're up there. I know you're in the moment, but Warren knew it was wrong.
Yeah. I think just because it was such a strange, I mean, you open the envelope and you look inside and you say to yourself, this doesn't seem quite right.
Because
why
fit.
Is Emma Stone didn't win the best movie? So I'm sure he was trying to, in his head, figure out what his next move was. And he did what most guys would do. Hand it to Faye Dunaway and let her take the fall. That's what I would have done.
Well, I know everybody's been saying, where's Faye Dunaway today? She kind of like ran out there. It's totally not
Faye
her
Runaway.
Fault. It is so not her fault.
Yeah, I know.
And how many years has Price Waterhouse, now Cooper, been doing this?
Yeah.
I mean...
It used to be part of the broadcast is you'd bring out these three people, two in a tuxedo and one in a dress, and they'd have... briefcases and the crowd would go, all right, we get it, you're accountants,
but
yay.
Whoever cared about that part yet it right. was always part. And was it last year with the kids, was Chris Rock brought out the kids?
I think that was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we were talking about this, that there can't be a mistake, because we were talking about some of the Oscar winners that were rescinded afterwards. Mm-hmm. And we did talk about this on Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's ever happened before, but doing a little research, I guess it did happen one time before. This wasn't the first time a presenter was given the wrong card at the Oscars.
I don't remember this.
All right, 1964. You were a year old.
I was watching it. I remember watching it. I loved it.
With your little briefcase and suit on, pretending you were part of Price Waterhouse.
That's right.
Whatever it was back then. At the 1964 Academy Awards, Sammy Davis Jr. Presented the award for Best Music Score, Adaptation, or Treatment during the 36th Annual Academy Awards.
Yeah.
He was given the incorrect envelope as well. Sammy Davis Jr. reads the nominees. Well, I think we have the audio, so let's hear a little from this cool cat.
And the winner is...
Me.
John Addison for Tom Jones. Oh, they gave me the wrong envelope. Wait till the NAACP hears about this. I ain't gonna make no mistake this time, baby. The winner is Andre Previn for Irma LaDuce.
The coincidence there? Who played Irma LaDuce?
Emma Stone?
No.
Who?
Shirley MacLaine, the sister of Warren Beatty.
What?
That's right.
Shirley MacLaine did this. She gave the wrong envelope.
She's obviously to blame. Yeah.
Really?
Isn't that a strange tie-in? Yeah.
Look at you, Mr. Showbiz.
Well, you know.
You're the new Rex Reed.
Fingers crossed. How about this? All those years later, that was 1964. And the NCAA. No, they have nothing to do with this.
NAACP.
NAACP, thank you. Why couldn't I say that? I kept wanting to say NCAA. They're still getting mentions now for obvious reasons. They're
yes.
still very much in the news all these years later.
Sammy was pretty smooth over everything with that, too, because it's embarrassing.
He was very funny. Very funny with that.
I miss that guy, too.
Yeah.
So 1964, it happened. And can I just please stop saying envelope?
Well,
it's an envelope.
But I think there are times like Oscar night where they want to dress things up. So you always have the option of saying envelope or envelope, but on that particular evening, everybody tends to say envelope. I'm with you, though. It's an envelope.
You don't go back and forth. I mean, if you were hosting, you'd still say
envelope.
I'd say
envelope.
No, actually, if it contains like an award or certification,
then
it is envelope.
Envelope.
Says who?
But if you're just sending in your heating bill, it's envelope, an envelope.
Envelope total.
Yeah.
So that Valentine's Day for third graders?
Envelope.
Envelopes.
Right. I'll say the world.
See, here we go. Taking the world by storm.
There was another mistake last night that I guess wasn't as big as announcing the wrong winner for best movie.
Really?
The other mistake. Do you know this one, Steve?
Well, it's worse in a way because this one really should have been caught.
Yeah. During the In Memoriam segment, which, you know, I always enjoy it. I feel guilty enjoying it, but it's a beautiful moment. Sarah Bareilles sang.
She was unreal with her Joni Mitchell song.
It was really good.
Both Sides Now. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking of that. She was amazing.
She did a nice job. There's no question about it. And, you know, it's a last goodbye to many of the people who worked either as actors or actresses. Or like last night, they really went heavy with people with behind the scenes people.
Yep.
You got a lot of actors and actresses mentioned, of course, but you had a lot of people whose names probably don't mean a lot to people outside of the industry. But it's a nice way of saying, here's people that make movies magical. Let's say goodbye to them.
There was a publicist involved.
Yeah.
It should be like that. If they're in the industry, they should be.
A script supervisor?
Yeah. How about that?
It's all right.
And I thought in the past the song should always be I Will Remember You. That should always be the song. But last night I was proven wrong because the Joni Mitchell song did it. It was a nice background.
I think it's the whole event is becoming a little too big now.
Do you? Do you really?
It's becoming not a caricature of itself, but it's
the memoriam
it's
thing?
It's a little too self-aware or something, yeah.
It's getting bigger than the awards part.
It goes on a bit, and then inevitably what happens is people go, hey, you know who you left out. There were omissions? Well, right off the bat, Bill Paxton, I don't know if you consider this an omission or not. We found out yesterday that Bill Paxton had died the day before, he was mentioned, but not in the In Memoriam segment.
And you saw him in the Rolex commercial,
yeah,
right?
He was in the Rolex commercial, too. That was eerie.
That was weird.
I love that guy so much. Only 61 years old. Yeah. I felt so bad. I guess he wasn't in the memoriam. He should have been thrown in there.
Well, Jennifer Aniston said, you know, we've lost a lot of people, and then mentioned that he had died over the weekend. Just a quick mention. So maybe you go, well, that's even better than being grouped in with everybody else.
You get a special mention.
But it also says to me that they already had that film footage. That was cut and ready to run, and they didn't want to add a little extra footage of Bill Paxton.
That wouldn't have been difficult, and video people do that for a living. They can edit that in a second.
Right. Right.
They just maybe didn't have a good footage for him.
I don't know. But he wasn't mentioned. Okay, but one of the people that they showed in the In Memoriam segment was watching the show and is fine.
What?
Yeah.
It's not Abe Vigoda this time.
A producer whose picture appeared in the In Memoriam segment is actually alive and well, according to her.
Okay,
this
is terrible.
She told Variety Magazine, no, I'm fine. The show had the correct name in the montage, and that would be Janet Patterson. She's an Australian costume designer and four-time Oscar nominee. But the image they showed, the picture they showed, was that of Jan Chapman, who is an Australian producer who worked with Patterson on films like The Piano and Bright Star. Patterson earned nominations for both films. Some Twitter users caught the blunder. Boy, they've got eagle eyes, because I didn't
Well, how do you know what she looks like?
You'd have to know her, wouldn't you? You wouldn't know what she looked like.
So it was the right name, but the wrong picture that accompanied it?
Yeah, they were collaborators on a bunch of films in Australia. They worked together.
And if you read it, it said that their photos often are in other spots, confused.
Yes.
So that's what happened.
All right, but can I tell you, it's bad enough that the best picture had a problem with the wrong envelope. This is inexcusable. This is what your job is, to get the memorial reel together.
Absolutely. But if you're that lady, you can't be that upset because you go, well, the end result is I'm still here breathing.
Right.
You know?
Hey, I made one of the most popular features of the show, and I'm still alive.
Yeah, but the family of the woman who really did die should be irritated.
Yeah, they have a legitimate gripe.
That is inexcusable. I mean, if you Google Bill Left, there will be pictures of me. And if you Google Wendy Snyder,
right.
What if they misidentify us one day?
That would be awkward. That would be very awkward.
Like your name and my picture. Well, she did have the lower voice.
Radio host Bill Left dies in freak breakfast cereal accident. And then it's a picture of you there.
You would be so pissed. I'm telling you right now.
I would be. It'd be very upsetting. All right. We'll take a
inexcusable.
We'll take a quick break, and then I have a question about Mel Gibson. All right, that's coming your way next. Stick around if you want to jump in. It's Oscar Talk, 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener,
I wouldn't have to answer calls like these.
Uh-oh, that was
That's
a different
not,
version.
What? Somebody hacked into our system.
Crazy YouTube. The Russians
hacked into the system and gave Jimmy Kimmel the wrong envelope last night.
Remember, Tim Weigel had the Weigel wieners that were Oscar wieners from last night.
Yes, that's true. That's so true. Before I get into Mel Gibson.
Oh, yes.
Here's what I was thinking yesterday. Even though it was my day off, Wendy, I decided to still think. The Academy Awards are one of those perfect moments where you go, anything can happen, not just because of the mistakes, but I was thinking with Jimmy Kimmel hosting. The first time I ever saw Jimmy Kimmel, he was the co-host on Win Ben Stein's Money, and I used to watch that quite regularly, but never once during an episode of Win Ben Stein's Money did I say to myself, I bet one day that guy hosts the Academy Awards. That never happened.
You're right. I agree with you.
Didn't seem like it was even the most remote of possibilities that the guy who played on that show would be the Oscar host at some point. But he is. I was also thinking that with the actor, and his name escapes me, but he's in Manchester by the Sea. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for playing Casey Affleck's nephew, and he was great in the movie. This was a guy who I saw a couple years ago on a show on NBC called The Slap, which was kind of a goofy show, and he played a minor character on The Slap. But watching that kid in that TV show, The Slap, I didn't sit there and go, this guy is odds-on favorite to be Best Supporting Actor in the Academy Awards a couple years from now. Not even the smallest of possibilities. But isn't that cool that you could be somebody doing something, and all of a sudden, a year or two or three or four later, you're the hottest thing in Hollywood.
There's
That's
hope
amazing.
For you yet.
There's still hope for
is
both of
Is it Lee
us.
Chandler?
Yeah, I think it is Lee Chandler.
Okay.
Kind of a wiry kid.
I didn't see him. He becomes, I don't know.
I think that could
be it. I didn't see the
movie. That could be it. You didn't see Manchester by the Sea?
I haven't seen
it. You will laugh.
That's
It will crack you up. Oh, my God.
Did you like Airplane?
Shut up.
Pick the bad week to stop watching good movies.
But I'll tell you, I wonder if that's why the ratings are down. Everything was kind of a downer with the exception of La La Land. That's the only one I saw.
Which is also
a
little bit on the same
side. Did you cry?
Yes.
You're cute.
Yes, I did. All right, so here's what I would like to discuss about Mel Gibson. There were still a couple of movies as the weekend began that I said to myself, I've still not seen everything nominated, and I would like to, so I can make a better kind of prediction on what would win and should win, right? So one of the movies I hadn't seen yet was Hacksaw Ridge, and it's on pay-per-view, so we all watched it yesterday around noon, you know? One of my daughters and my wife and I, so we watched it.
Doing your homework.
And it was really good. I mean, if you're a fan of war movies, it's really good. It's pretty brutal in parts, as you'd imagine. Why wouldn't it be? It is directed by Mel Gibson, right? Now, I'm one of those people that have held a bit of a grudge about Mel Gibson. He's said some things and done some things that are very upsetting to me, and I kind of have stayed away from Mel Gibson things. I've seen a few of them, and to be fair, they've been good. Remember that movie about the guy that could only communicate with a stuffed bunny?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know the name
of
that.
I saw that. I like that. That was like 5 years ago.
I was a huge fan. I mean, he was...
Loved him.
Mad Max, baby.
Before we knew what a goof he was, Braveheart is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
I've actually seen it. That's how good it was.
That's how good Braveheart is. It says that in the ads in the newspapers. Wendy has seen it.
That's all I need to say. He's a great actor.
He's a great actor, and he's a great director.
Yeah, he is.
As a human being, he's slightly flawed.
He has some character flaws. Right.
So yesterday, during the presentation, Mel is sitting very... He must have got there early, because he was sitting right up front. He got some very good seats. And they made fun of him a couple of times. you know, and he seemed to be okay with them making fun of it, even though from what we know about Mel, his temper is a little strange. He laughed both times he was made fun of. He smiled throughout. He was in a good mood. So I guess my question is this. Is it time to forgive and forget with Mel Gibson? Is he one of those people that we just say, all right, he had a bad chapter. Let's get past it.
I don't have any trouble forgiving someone. It's like you can't forget, and it's still in the back of your mind. But everybody makes mistakes.
No question.
I think that's the key, though. When it's not forgiving, it's forgetting.
Yeah.
Are you ready to forget?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff he did.
He did terrible things. You know what? Everybody has done crappy things.
I felt for him last night.
Did you?
I did, because, you know, he had that look on his face like, I know almost everyone here
is
talking about me as soon as I turn around.
Right.
And, you know, it was like a shell-shocked, painted-on smile. And, I had real sympathy for him, I think.
Well, you also know if you're him, you're going to be the punchline of a joke or two. There's no way you're going to get through the evening without being the punchline of a couple of jokes, and he was. But anytime he was, they showed him there's a couple ways to react to it, and he was all smiles, and he was laughing and kind of in on the joke.
But I'm confused, too, now. Isn't he a Donald Trump supporter? Or am I...
I don't know that he's a Donald Trump supporter, but
he wasn't Hillary.
If I'd fill in the blank, I'd put him on as the Donald Trump side.
He's a right-wing
conservative
guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Scientology joke, I didn't get.
Yeah, I didn't get that one either.
Because he's not a Scientologist.
He is not.
How's it?
That's more a joke on Scientology than it is on him. It's like, the essence of that is, Mel's doing something to put his life right again, and that something is Scientology, but it's not. He's not in Scientology. He's one of Hollywood's odd eggs that are not in the Scientology department, you know?
Be honest, did you think that joke was funny?
No, that wasn't one of the best.
Because I didn't get it.
There were a couple. Jimmy Kimmel did two different jokes about people who were there whose movies weren't seen. Isabelle Huppert is a French actress, and nobody really saw her movie. And Viggo Mortensen made a movie called Captain Fantastic that was not really well seen.
I did see that movie.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was it great?
No.
It was not great.
All right, see, that movie poster would say Steve Bertrand saw this.
I told my last night, we were talking all night, I said, I left that movie theater mad at that movie.
Was that bad?
I didn't like it at all.
Oh, wow.
Perhaps it was in the footage I watched, but weren't those jokes close together, too?
They were very close together. Okay. But it was the same joke worded differently.
Yep, and
you're here even though none of us saw your movie was the joke.
And I see he did that with the French actress because he wanted to do, you know, it's funny, Homeland Security let you in.
Right.
But then he shouldn't have done the no one saw your movie.
Yeah.
Because it was right after the Viggo Mortensen one.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it's easy to...
I know.
It's easy to call the shots when it's
armchair
over.
Stand up.
But... I'm sure when you're going through the list of things to say and do, you go, yeah, enough time is a lot. I can do that joke. And then a minute and a half later, I can do that. It'll work. But, you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
And it's in his head because he just did it. Again, we all say things sometimes that aren't appropriate, aren't funny, that are terrible.
Oh, I'm positive when the show was all said and done, he did a little OJ joke that didn't go over very well, but he rebounded very nicely from it. About how after the OJ documentary won, OJ will celebrate by getting an extra piece of bologna on his sandwich, and the crowd kind of booed him. Not booed him, but just like there was a year, like a groan.
He's funnier than that.
I know.
But again, you're there and you're trying to be topical and you're trying to roll with what's happening.
Sure.
Still unflappable.
Without a doubt. Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve's going to give you the news, and then there's all kinds of stuff coming up. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks so much, Steve. Hi, everybody. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200. We're, of course, talking about last night's Academy Awards. Most of the talk has been about the flub at the end where they called out the wrong winner for the best movie of the year. It was not La La Land, as many people thought. Here's the other topic that has come up, and that is Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson was nominated for his work in a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. He directed Hacksaw Ridge. So I was trying to figure out, is it time for us, the movie-going public, to forgive and forget with Mel Gibson? And both of you have made a very good point, separating forgiving and forgetting, which isn't always that easy to do.
People make mistakes and say stupid things. They really do.
Yeah.
I mean...
He obviously, Mel Gibson, has had a problem in the past with several things, alcohol being one of them.
And that makes me kind of excuse him as well.
Yeah. But he said some, well, you can go online and Google all the things he has said, some horribly anti-Semitic things, some things that are just terrible toward women. The list goes on and on and on and on. Yeah. So do we look the other way? As Steve pointed out, it was easy to almost feel sorry for him. I never thought that would be a factor, but you almost
did. He's doing
did.
Okay.
I had empathy or sympathy for him, I guess. But do you go to Woody Allen movies?
You know, I never did. Sorry.
Woody Allen's a great example. I did stay away for a while.
Did you?
Yeah.
But then you went back.
For a while, what does that do then?
I don't know if it did anything. It was just it's
for
hard.
Your own.
Well, there's a couple people that I have a hard time putting money down knowing that they'll get a percentage
of it. Bill Cosby's one of them.
I
mean, remember when we went to see him at the Chicago Theater and we got to meet him?
Yeah.
And it was like, honestly, really great. We interviewed him. It was really one of the highlights of our lives.
Yep.
And that was shattered. Yeah. I have things he autographed for my kids, and my kids go, now what do we do with it? And I go, just let's put it in an envelope and hang on to it.
Actually, that
happens.
Would be you'd put that in an envelope
because it's more important.
I'd rather say either envelope or I don't know.
So, what do you think? Is it time to forgive and forget when it comes to Mel Gibson? Let's go to the phones.
Linda's here. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Bill and Wendy. I love your show. I listen to you all the time.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you. Appreciate that.
But I had to call in because I have very strong feelings about this. I am Jewish, and I do not ever want to see another Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah.
I cannot forgive and forget him. Part of it is, there is a Yiddish saying, what's on your heart is on your tongue.
Yeah.
This is a man that was raised by someone who denies the Holocaust. He has, you know, when he was drunk and he said all that, that's really what he felt on his heart.
Yeah.
And I absolutely cannot stand him. I feel if I could, I felt he should have been blacklisted. You know, the Jewish people that are very, very much involved in the movie industry, I feel they should just have totally, you know, ignored him. I absolutely feel very strongly about this. I cannot forgive him for that. And I don't think it's time to forgive or forget.
You know, Linda, for about a decade, just under a decade, if he wasn't officially blackballed, he was all but blackballed. He just couldn't get work. Jodie Foster was the only person that gave him a chance, and that was it, you know?
Well, yeah, I just, you know, after what he said to that police officer, to me, what he said, he really felt in his heart, and part of it is the way he was raised. He was, you know, raised by someone who totally denies the Holocaust ever happened.
His dad is a mess. Yeah, was a mess.
Yeah, his dad's a mess, and he raised him to be a mess. And I absolutely cannot forgive him. I will never watch one of his movies again.
And I believe in that Yiddish saying where, you know, what comes from your lips stems from the heart, or I'm paraphrasing. But obviously, if you say something like that, it's somewhere in your head and ready to be said. But there are people that have bad thoughts and don't make it public, too. So I'm
well,
not Jewish. Yeah, and I'm not Jewish, and I don't really go to that many movies of Mel Gibson's, but I just feel like people make mistakes sometimes. But I totally understand your side of it, Linda.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you letting me speak.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the
and
call.
And thanks for listening.
Sure, take care. Bye-bye.
Cheryl wants to talk about an issue she has with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. Hi, Bill and Wendy. Love your show.
Thanks, Cheryl.
It's pretty much the same thing that Linda was saying. And Wendy, yeah, I hear you that people make mistakes. But for me, it goes beyond a mistake. It's a belief system. It's what he truly feels in his heart. And like she was saying, he was raised that way. So if you are anti-Semitic, you know, people are entitled to believe what they believe. But the things that he said, I can never forgive it. I will never forget it. I never want to. I wouldn't even look at him. Like when they showed him on the screen, I physically had to turn away. Like that's how visceral this. Like I can't even look at him.
Cheryl, can I give you a hypothetical? What if Mel Gibson said at some point in the near future, I had a horrible chapter in my life where I said things and did things that I have no idea where that evil came from, but I regret it and I want to apologize. Would you be willing to accept it then or not?
First, I can never see him doing that, yeah. But I don't know, it would depend on the context and how sincere it was. But for me, it was like he was biting the hand that feeds him.
Big time.
If you look at most of the Hollywood studios, they're run by Jewish people. And how disrespectful to the people that he's worked with and that, frankly, have paid him all these years in Hollywood. So, no, I'll never see a movie. I'll never support him in any way, shape, or form, any project that he's involved in.
I have a question. So, Bill, he didn't apologize after this?
Not really.
No. Really?
No.
No.
What a doofus.
That's what I mean.
See? Yeah. So, yeah, you can make a mistake, but this goes way beyond the pale of making a mistake, in my opinion.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Why wouldn't he apologize?
That's surprising.
Then I don't blame people for being against him.
Yeah.
Seriously, here I am defending him. Everybody says something sometimes that they don't mean. You know, I've said mean things to my husband because I'm mad.
Right.
When you're mad, you say something to irritate right. them. And you hopefully apologize. I find it shocking he never...
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah, I know. I know. So I wonder what the mood was around him yesterday, last night. Because there's a lot of people in Hollywood that just have absolutely turned their backs on him, and for obvious reasons. So if you're walking down a hall at the Pavilion and you see him, do you acknowledge each other or do you just look the other way? I mean, I wonder what kind of reception he had yesterday from all the other Hollywood elite.
That's interesting.
And there was a time, I mean, go back to him in his glory days. He was a very popular man. People loved him. They embraced him. And what a shift, you know, over the last couple of years. And you've heard the yelling conversations with him and his second wife, right? Did you ever hear any of those? It's as uncomfortable as you could possibly imagine.
And they were taped?
Yeah,
did he do this in public?
I think she was taping them to use, you know, in case there was a split up, which there was.
And they're admissible? Or they just got out there?
I'm not sure. I have no idea about that. I don't know. But I know I was at a station where we played him, and at some point I said, I can't hear any more of this. It's too uncomfortable.
Well, it sounds like he has some serious inner demons.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But, you know, to some extent, excuse me, I was thinking that with Casey Affleck yesterday, too. I'm shocked that he won the award for Best Actor because I really thought... You know, he's had some lawsuits that have been settled out of court, and I thought that would have been enough to where people voting would go, I'm not comfortable voting for him. But he went up there, accepted the award to huge applause. Everybody seems to have quickly forgiven and forgotten about that.
Were their charges dropped? I mean...
No, the charges weren't dropped. They were eventually, because in both cases, he and his lawyers settled out of court.
But he admitted that he did these things?
No.
Because then,
he did not.
I don't understand that whole thing, because if something happened to me, I wouldn't settle out of court. I would want to take them down to
right.
their last breath
right.
and show the people, look at this type of person. So the settled out of court, I never know how to react to that, because you know what? There are three stories, his, hers, and what really happened.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I know you mentioned that you didn't think that he would walk away with this because of all the controversy.
I thought this was a gray enough cloud to where people would go, well, Denzel Washington doesn't seem to have any scandals, or Ryan Gosling doesn't seem to have any scandals. All things being equal, I'll throw my vote their way. That's what I expected, but I was wrong.
Did you see Fences?
Yeah.
Was Denzel great?
Yeah. The movie's not, but he was.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's another great guy.
Yeah.
And he married, you know, Gary from Chicago. He married them on stage.
Oh, yeah, he did,
sort
didn't
of.
He? I thought you meant he married a guy named Gary from Chicago. I'm like, that's never talked about. Why don't
said,
we know more about that?
And it,
although he looked, when they said Casey Affleck's name, he looked a little upset. And then Casey Affleck kind of acknowledged the fact that part of the reason he's an actor is because of Denzel Washington. But the cut to him in the audience looked very suspicious. He did
That's
not
weird.
Seem pleased.
Good line from Casey Affleck, whether he believed it or not,
right.
because that kind of...
Win him back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting. Yep. Hollywood.
Yeah.
Weird. Hollywood.
Yeah.
Freudian right. slip.
More of your thoughts. You know how to reach us. We're 312-981-7200. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to get to you next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. We're still talking about last night's Academy Awards. Just a little bit more chat about it. I'm trying to figure out if it's time to forgive and forget Mel Gibson. I never thought I'd say that. I've been holding a grudge against Mel Gibson for quite a few years. But last night he was sitting in the front row and seemed to be part of the evening's festivities. He was the punchline of a few jokes. He laughed them off.
Who wasn't, really?
Right. I know. I did like when Vince Vaughn referred to Jimmy Kimmel as a young Salminio. I don't know how many people enjoy that, but I did. I don't know why, but I really did.
All right. Jim has his thoughts on Mel Gibson. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Well, good morning, you two. How are you?
Good, Jim. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Well, you know, I try to go by what my parents raised me as a nice Italian Catholic boy, and that is to forgive, don't forget.
Yeah.
And you know, quite frankly, Mel Gibson is gifted in what he does for a living. So
he is.
You know, as far as the awards are concerned, you know, that's one entity. I don't know if scandal and things like that should have much to play in receiving an award. I don't know. You know,
it is true. I get what you're saying, because they shouldn't be judged for their character. They should be judged by their performance. It's just hard to separate the two sometimes.
Yes. Well, that's because they make, quite frankly, their living is based upon us loving them and spending our money to watch their films and all that. That being said, I just want to stick to the forgive them, don't forget. If the guy is truly anti-Semitic, okay. I would like to see what I think Bill alluded to earlier. I think it would be nice for him as a human being to say, you know what, these are my black years, and I humbly apologize and hope that you can forgive me. And then leave it alone.
Yeah, but the longer he waits, the worse it is. Like, he should have done that already.
I agree. As a matter of fact, I was surprised to hear you guys discuss that he didn't really give an honest apology. I thought that he did, but apparently not. And that, you know, that's where the don't forget comes from.
Not only has he not apologized, but I think WGN's own Dean Richards will tell you the story about how if you ever bring it up to him, he says that was years ago, you need to get over it. He'll quickly turn on you and say, it's your problem if you're still thinking about it. It's not my problem.
Yeah, well, I spent 31 and a half years in the military, and I can tell you this, you can be forgiven, but things that you do are not forgotten. And we in the military are held to a higher standard. They, in their position in life, should also.
Yeah.
So I don't have to get over anything. He does.
Absolutely. Jim, thanks so much. Have a good week.
Have a great day, guys.
Take
care. You too, Jim. All right. Another thing that we need to discuss, you had mentioned the memoriam segment.
Yes.
And they misidentified someone. They had the right name and the right position, but the wrong picture.
Yeah.
And Betty, you know someone that was left off of the in memoriam?
Yes, Barbara Hale. She was from Rockford. I don't live too far from there. And she passed away within the last month or two because they had a big thing on our local TV about it.
Betty, there's a reason.
There's a reason.
Barbara Hale was a television actress. Oh. She was Della Street on Perry Mason.
She was also in movies.
She did have, to be fair, a couple small roles in movies. But I think TV was more of her genre. And I know that at the next Emmy Awards, she'll certainly get a mention in that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'll have to go with what you say then. Thank you.
Thanks.
That's all what right. we all do, Betty. We go with what Bill says. That's why we're in trouble a lot of the time.
That's the reason that there's danger.
Thank you, Betty.
They always, there's right. actors and actresses, some known more for their TV work, some more for their movie work. There are some that cross over and they'll get a mention in both places. I saw somebody tweeting yesterday, why is Prince getting a mention?
Purple Rain.
Prince was in a couple, Under the Cherry Moon. He was in a couple of movies. Not a lot of movies.
That's pushing it, in my opinion. Like, I feel Barbara Hale was probably, if Prince was there, and God, I loved Prince.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean.
Right, I know. He's not, no one in the world knows Prince primarily for his film work. He's a musician, yeah, first and foremost.
Agreed.
So there's always like that gray area, or purple area, I guess, in this case, where they're like, do we include him? Do we not include him? But it is sad when they leave some people out.
And I feel so bad about Bill Paxton.
Yeah, it is sad. And I don't know if you did this. I knew Bill Paxton was a strong actor. I don't think I've ever seen him be bad in anything. But it's until you see the whole list of what he's done and you say to yourself, oh, he was in that too. Oh, I forgot he was in that. And he was in that. Like, there were so many things that you go, because he was one of those actors that just kind of blended in and became the part.
Except for Twister. Come on.
Well, that's the best one, because I know I've told you the story. He and Helen Hunt hated each other.
And all I wanted was my relationship to be like Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton, because they nailed it.
Right, right.
They
but
just
off
looked,
screen,
yeah,
they hated each other.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. They wouldn't even do, when Universal Studios did a Twister ride, I don't know if you were ever there, but there was a ride where you were supposedly going through a Twister, just like in the movie. And they got both actors to do it, but when you see the film, they're never in it together. They're talking to each other, but there's no two shots because they refuse to go back and do any more footage together. They hated each other.
That makes me sad.
I know.
But yeah, Bill Paxton first got his start in the 70s, playing minor roles, went over audiences in the last two decades. He played notable characters in The Terminator. Forget about that.
Yeah.
Weird Science.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Mm-hmm. Tombstone.
Tombstone, Apollo 13, Twister, and Titanic. Totally forget
great
about those.
Great in every one of them.
Only 61 years old, died Saturday due to complications from surgery, according to a family statement. Do we know what kind of surgery?
Yeah, it was some sort of heart surgery they were doing on him. And he and Bill Pullman will always be the guys that anytime you say either Bill Paxton or Bill Pullman, you see people take a second and look to the side and go, okay, I think I know who's who. Yeah, I know who's who.
And that same thing happens to Jeff Bridges and who's the other guy?
Who else?
Oh, God, I can't think of it right now.
Bo Bridges?
No, that's his brother.
Todd Bridges?
Jeff Daniels.
Oh, Jeff
Daniels,
yeah.
There's a kind of the same thing going on there, too.
They go for the same roles a lot.
I feel so bad. Actor Bill Paxton dead at 61. That I didn't know till later in the night.
Yeah.
Because I missed that part. Jennifer Aniston mentioned it. She's the one who...
She had given him a quick mention and looked like she was tearing up as she was talking about it. It was pretty sad. Very sad. All right, we need to take a break. Thanks, everybody, for calling in on the Mel Gibson topic. Appreciated. We'll take a break. Ryan Burrow will give you the news, and then we'll check in with Eric Zorn next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
That we do.
We do, and why wouldn't we? Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune.
I just heard some awful news, though, that the
what?
Greatest father that ever was born,
yeah?
The Lord, that was mistakenly given
what?
To me.
Who's this supposed to go to? The cast of Moonlight?
Maybe it was you. I don't know. The cast of Moonlight.
Wendy and I have been discussing this all morning. Were you watching this last night when this all took place?
I normally wouldn't be watching it, because as soon as they would have announced the winner, the acceptance speeches for the best picture are the worst, because it's like the money guys, right?
Right? The producers.
Come up. And then the host, who's already like, you know, an hour overtime, goes, bye, thank you.
Yeah.
Nothing to watch. I was only kept watching because the possibility that someone was going to say something political.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, well, as someone who guards our right to know, as a member of the American, the enemy of the American people, the media, I decided I would watch this. And it was stunning. It was just a completely stunning moment. But the thing is, think how much worse it would have been if it had been the other way around.
Yeah.
If they had called Moonlight up there and then go, oh, wait, sorry, black folks, get off the stage. We want to give it to La La Land.
That would have
already
seemed
won a bunch
worse
of
somehow, wouldn't it?
It would have been a lot worse. It also would have been much worse if it had been like, say, like the best actress or the best supporting actress. Imagine if they'd had to interrupt Viola Davis in the middle of that really emotional speech. Like, excuse us, little mistake here. I mean, so
that would have been terrible.
The fact that these were people that you really didn't know who were up there, who were already like carrying too many Oscars they didn't really under their arms and
they
so
had
on.
A wheelbarrow.
There were some weird moments. Did you notice how, like, the third guy who spoke, if you look at the film I've been watching online this morning, the Zapruder film, this where they break it down moment by moment as to what's going on and who knows what. The third guy who speaks has already been told, clearly, that something is really wrong. He gets up there anyway and starts talking.
It's his
and
moment.
It's his moment, and he takes it. And the other thing I notice is that you notice how Warren Beatty figures out something's wrong.
Yeah.
He's looking at that envelope. It says, you know, best actress, Emma Stone. And he doesn't know what to do. And, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, how anyone would react knowing that there, you know, how many, is there a billion people watching around the world? Yeah. Something like that. Where you're watching this is an incredibly big moment. I don't know how anybody would react to that, but he like punts it over to Faye, Dunaway. Like,
that's what Bill said.
Yeah,
that's
what, the
right thing to do.
What most men would do.
There's a woman right next to me. I'll put it on her.
Like,
you're Faye Dunaway.
I mean, and of course, obviously, in retrospect, the thing to have done would have been like, hang on just a moment. I want to make double sure this is correct. And the,
I can't believe he didn't do that. I really can't. People watching or not, it was obviously wrong. You're in a terrible position.
Yeah.
It just feels like it would be best to go, I think we may have the wrong envelope here. Envelope, you have to call it.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, or to say, I need to check one thing before I read this. Anything to make sure that you get it right, because that is obviously the biggest award of the night.
Right.
And here he is. I don't know. I mean, it's really easy to second guess him. My first response, my first reaction right after this was, I tweeted something like, you know, someone had tweeted or I retweeted about how the Academy really owes. You know, it owes Warren Beatty an apology. And it owes Faye Dunaway an apology too. I thought, well, yeah, they do, because they really
they look bad. They
made
him
look really bad.
Yeah.
You know, made him look like the Steve Harvey moment, right?
Right, it sure did.
Steve Harvey was happy this happened.
He's off the hook.
Did you see what he tweeted this morning?
No.
He said, "Did anything happen last night?" I think that's really funny.
You've seen the footage of Ryan Gosling up on stage giggling at this, right?
No.
Have you seen the footage? No. Find it online. It's really funny because Ryan Gosling thinks it's hysterical. You know, and it is and it isn't.
No, it is. I mean, think about it. I mean, the other way that this all could have been worse is if this really mattered, right?
Right,
if it was like, if there was somebody's life was on the line, if there weren't like a million bigger problems in the world than somebody.
Right. You operated on his leg. It was his tongue that needed surgery. What's wrong with you?
Exactly. Or just you operated on his left leg.
It was right leg. Yeah. Would you agree with me that the past, I don't know, 6, 8, 12 months have proved that anything can happen? And I guess it started with the Cubs winning the World Series and then Donald Trump becoming the president. And then last night, what we used to believe,
well,
this is the way things will be.
Right, it's in the NBA championships, right, where the Warriors are up 3-1.
Right.
And
Super Bowl, where the team.
The Super Bowl is a great example.
Right.
Yeah, it's like you think you know what's going to happen. You think,
and it doesn't.
And it doesn't.
Yeah.
And this is just another one of those. You're right. It's like, you just never know. Nate Silver apparently had tweeted immediately after the announcement of La La Land, tweeted out, "Well, our model was good, 8 for 8, you know, high fives to us." And, you know, so yeah, no, it is really true that, and of course, everyone thought La La Land was going to win the best picture anyway. Right.
They were the favorite by far.
The primitive favorite.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great, interesting moment, the most interesting moment. I mean, is this more interesting than Sasheen Littlefeather and
Marlon Brando?
The guy streaking the stage.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. Streaker wins in my book.
David Niven and the Streaker was the winner?
Because he was really funny, you said.
Yeah,
I can't really remember.
Was very funny about
it. That's why we watch the Oscars, right? You watch them for those moments. You don't watch them to... Now, did you think Jimmy Kimmel did a good job?
Excellent job.
It was fantastic.
I thought so, too. I thought the Matt Damon stuff was hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
The only thing I thought was maybe a little forced was that when they dropped the parachute.
Candy.
Of food from the ceiling.
Three times was too many.
Yeah.
I didn't see that because I didn't watch it live. What was that all about? Why did he drop
candy? Just asked people if they were hungry and then had red vines and Twizzlers and stuff drop from the roof and they all got
some.
It wasn't
particularly funny or inventive, but you know, he cut
right.
up a little slack.
Once is funny. He did it three times?
Three times.
Last time, well, he did set up a nice,
he set up a nice
joke at the end. He had cookies and donuts, and then he said, and now we're going to let coffee from the ceiling.
Right.
That was pretty funny.
Right.
But no, it was really interesting. It's all everyone was talking about. Right? Everyone was talking about this morning, and you know, we tried to have a serious news meeting up at the editorial board, and ultimately it came around to that. And, of course, because you have to talk about it. The other thing that came up, we were talking about this, is remember the kids who get letters, acceptance letters to colleges where they didn't actually get in?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, this happens. You'll get a letter from,
uh-oh,
you know.
I better have Michael double-check his.
Yeah, you know, that was a mistake. We let you in by mistake. So that does happen.
Do they send a follow-up letter saying it was a mistake?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
You know, bank error in your favor. Sorry, but you got to return the money.
Oh,
know? That kind of
nobody
thing.
Wants
so,
that.
So, but gosh, it was fascinating.
Yeah,
so I was really enjoyed it.
Now, are you one of the people say there wasn't any real movie to root for this year? There have been years in the past where there's some movie like Titanic or Forrest Gump that you go, oh, that we want that to win everything. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case yesterday. I don't know. Do you need a movie to root for?
I did not see all of them, I have to admit. But
I saw one.
Just one?
La La Land. That was it.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Okay. Johanna loved it, too.
I loved it.
Great. Well, so let's call him up and tell him.
Can I tell you, though, Jim said, oh, I want to watch, I'm going to watch La La Land. And I said, I got to be honest with you, I don't know that you're going to love it like I did.
It's not for everybody.
It isn't for everyone. Mm-mm. I watched it with 14 people. Only two of us liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a very low percentage.
I really liked Fences. Denzel. And I thought Denzel Washington's performance, and I can't say that he got robbed because I didn't see the other, I haven't seen Manchester by the Sea, but I thought that was a phenomenal acting job that he did. I mean, and
did
Viola
you think
Davis,
the movie was great or just the acting was great? Because there's I like August Wilson who did the screenplay, but it was a little stagey for
like
me.
It was like you were watching a play.
There was a lot of front stoop sitting and talking, wasn't there? There wasn't a lot of action. It was a lot of sit here and talk.
Yeah.
Right. But it was great talk. It was a great story, great play. It's not cinematic like a movie. It doesn't have the wonderful imagery and so on.
Right. But it's hard to, I mean, Denzel Washington is always great. He's never not been great in anything he's ever done. So you recognize that a little bit normally. It didn't happen last night.
Yeah.
He's won in the past.
You can't feel too bad for any of those big established stars.
No.
When you have these up-and-comers who get nominated and win, it's great. But the whole Moonlight story is great. I mean, they made the film for like $1.5 million or something like that. I mean, that's nothing.
Impossible. It's impossible.
Really amazing. So.
Yeah. All right. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We'll talk about a couple of other things next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder along with Eric Zorn, our friend from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, has our favorite hothead Sean Spicer been up to any antics?
There's a great story that Politico reported the other day that he was very concerned. They were very concerned in the White House about leaks. Mm-hmm. And the stories are leaking out, and as soon as things circulate within the White House, suddenly they're in the Washington Post and the New York Times. So he called a meeting of his communications staff, surprise meeting, you know, whatever, and had them all come in. And then he said, according to Politico, put your cell phones on the table. We're going to go through them and see who's been communicating, who's been who's been leaking. And I guess they all went along with it.
Would you do that?
Well, it's legal because it's not it's not the force of law. It's basically a loyalty test.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm assuming that he couldn't possibly order them to do it or be fired. But it's certainly, if you're on the staff and he says, "Let me look through your phone," you say no, suspicion all starts to fall onto you. And the thing is that, first of all, I don't think that it worked because I haven't heard of anybody fired yet. And there's certainly leaks. There are definitely leaks coming out of the communications department. But I think the reason is because they're using these various apps that encrypt and then and destroy the messages.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them that you can use. You're not supposed to use them. And in fact, it may be a violation of the Records Preservation Act that they have with the White House. But, the idea that we're carrying around with us, and this I started thinking sort of more broadly about this issue, which is, your cell phone is in some ways, it's like your diary in a way.
It totally, I wouldn't hand mine off to somebody.
And it, sort of imagine if like there's some leaks coming in, to this office is ending up on Robert Feeder's blog, and they all come in and the management comes around and says, just turn in your phones. We want to see who you've been writing emails to.
Yeah.
If any of you have been writing emails
to text. They can't do that.
Well, they can do it. They can ask, I think. I mean, I don't think there's any law about asking. They can't fire you for not doing it. But, and especially, it'd be especially true if it were a company or radio station owned phone.
It's a problem.
Well, then I guess.
But I think they could just ask for your phone back. If that's the case, if it's your private phone, they could just sort of say as a loyalty test, Bill, can we see your phone? You say, well, no, it's my phone.
Bill would go, hey, do you think you can show me how to use it?
Right. What does this button do?
Thank you. Finally.
It's the send button. You don't use that button?
These numbers here, what are they for?
But if you don't hand in your phone, then automatically you're suspect number one, right? Immediately.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I wouldn't hand my phone in.
You wouldn't do it?
No.
I think on principle you'd have to say not to do it because, and again, this is what we carry these around, these devices that are journals, and there's so much just about all of us, right?
Sure.
Except for Bill.
Except for
me. Still uses his Etch-A-Sketch to communicate. He mails you the Etch-A-Sketch. It's very complicated. because usually the postman turns it upside down.
Right.
The whole thing's erased.
No, it says do not turn upside down on the box.
Yeah, I'm smart. Yeah, the postal service is not good about that. But most of us have, like, you know, a lot of email to family, to friends.
Yeah.
Very personal stuff. It'll have your browsing search history, certainly, and on the, if there's a web browser in there. And we carry them, and they're also tracking devices. You know, these phones that we carry around are always pinging cell towers, which is why, you know, they wanted Drew Peterson's cell phone records. They convicted a guy not too long ago of a murder because they had followed his where the body was found and where his cell phone had been pinging matched up. So we're carrying these things around willingly, but they are such windows into what we've been doing, what we're thinking, what's really going on in our lives. And you know, I think it's something we don't really think about until a story like this comes around. You realize how vulnerable you are to somebody saying, "Hey,
do they think
look at that?"
Are they under the impression that the leaks are coming from one person? No, they can't think that, can they?
I don't think that they. I don't know what impression they're under. They certainly know that there are leaks because there are leaks. There's information that's been shared with the White House communication staff. Then that shows up, like I say, in the papers before it's been announced. And there's only one way that comes out. It's not, you know, there's no secondary.
But in spy movies, what they do then is they feed the White House false information. They do it to a small group at a time to see if that information gets out, and then they're narrowing it down.
Sure.
I watch Blacklist. I know how it goes.
I would think that they would be doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're very, very adversarial. And the place is leaking like crazy, I think, because a lot of people are very unsure about what's going on, and a lot of people don't like what's going on there, and they're trying to keep things monitored.
Will we ever find out who's leaking? I don't think we will.
I think we will. Don't you?
I think we
the American
around
public?
This table and around the American public probably won't, but
no?
Will Sean Spicer find out and quietly ease somebody out? That would be my guess. That's probably how they'd want to handle it. I don't think they'd want to make somebody a big scapegoat. I think they would want word to get out in small circles, like the reason that she's gone, the reason that he's gone is because we think that they were leaking. And, you know, people will...
They could do it based on an assumption. They wouldn't have to prove it.
I don't think these aren't like civil servants. I think they serve at the pleasure of the president and the communications director.
That's a funny group of words together.
So, yeah, right. The pleasure of the president, who's giving a big speech tomorrow night.
Yeah. And they expect... I don't remember ever seeing this before when talking about a presidential speech. They expect disruptions and heckling, they said.
Really? I wonder if the Democrats are going to go there.
Where is the speech tomorrow?
It's in the well of Congress. It's where the State of the Union always takes. It will look very much like a State of the Union speech. It's not technically a State of the Union speech, but in terms of its timing and the whole visuals of it, it's all State of the Union style. And, you know, the State of the Union was when the Republican congressman shouted out, "You lie," at President Obama when he had said something about his immigration program. And that was considered to be a gross breach of protocol.
Yeah.
Which, you know, because if you look at other places like in Great Britain, the House of Parliament, they're always yelling and screaming at each other.
Sure.
Speakers up there talking and going, you know.
Sometimes it gets physical with them.
I've seen it get physical.
Honestly?
I don't know if it gets physical there. Certainly they're like, I've seen countries like in Asia where they go after each other. But I don't know that Parliament ever gets physical.
No, I've seen a pushing and shoving match
in
England.
It's very rowdy, and I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I am really interested. Everyone keeps talking about, is Trump ever going to pivot? Is he going to come out and try to settle scores? Is he going to give one of these dark speeches like he gave at the inauguration?
Yeah.
You know, talking about, you know, American carnage and is he going to try to puff up is he going to talk about his Electoral College victory? Is he going to talk about the size of his crowds?
Yeah.
Or is he going to change and give a speech that's forward-looking, that's optimistic, that's not crazy in terms of, you know, what kind of things he's promising? These are written speeches. They're all in the teleprompter. This is gone through stuff. It's not him at one of these rallies where he's riffing.
What did he have to gain with changing the transgender bathroom rules? What's the gain in that?
Well,
I don't understand
it's an interesting thing. I looked into the polling on that, and younger people are okay with it. And this is the issue about whether kids in school, public schools, can use the bathroom to which they are, which they identify in, you know, gender fashion. Not which they were born with. So there are a lot of transgender boys, which means a transgender boy means that you identify as a boy.
But you were born a girl.
As a girl, and so on.
No one's even going to notice. Just go in the bathroom that it looks like you belong in and mind your own business, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And I did a piece this weekend where I talked about, look, if you go online and Google trans man, and these are people who were born women who now identify as men. Look at these people, and it's a clean search. You're not going to see anything that's it's unwholesome, but they just look like a bunch of guys. You know, a lot of them have beards, a lot of them have they're muscled. They look like guys. They're dressed in business suits. And
that's what trans man is? Because
yes.
My transmission place that I opened under that name went.
Oh, my God. We failed miserably.
All the superhero characters you have. And trans women, same thing.
No one would notice.
I don't think so.
And in fact, they've been doing this for years.
Yes.
Right.
Identify have been doing this without incident.
Right.
And suddenly it's this big issue. But again, I looked at the polls, and the polls suggest that this really appeals to his base.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
His base voters. I mean, he's unpopular. He's got somewhere, depending on the poll you're reading, he's in the 40s.
Low
40s or mid 40s popularity, which is historically low for this time in the presidency. But that 40% is really strong, and it's really Republican.
Yeah.
He doesn't do well with independents, does not do well with Democrats, obviously, but Republicans are 90-10 in liking the job that he's doing. And this is an issue that social conservatives and evangelicals really believe that this transgender stuff is nonsense and that you shouldn't have, people who have penises in girls' bathrooms, no matter what they look like or how they identify. So, he's just playing to his base, and he can't keep doing that if he wants to build that number from 40 to over 50, where you've got to be if you're going to do major things like change the healthcare system, like impose huge tax cuts, and do a budget that's going to get everybody all excited. So it's a big challenge.
I do is sigh now. Do you realize that? That's all I do. I mean, just
a lot
God.
Of that. Why not? Yeah. Eric, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a week.
Great to see you.
That's Eric Zorn from Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next on the Wintrust Business Lunch.